But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with eight of the most hated Democrats in America. Move on to how the Trump regime plans to make more Americans go hungry and without health care. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries. Trump is mentioned in the Epstein emails 1,670 times out of 2,324 emails. Let's begin, shall we? For the last 40-something days, Democrats had one simple request from any deal they made with their frenemies across the aisle to reopen the U.S. government.
Democrats wanted the deal to include extending subsidies for the Affordable Care Act.
Any deal must secure the extension of the ACA tax credits.
This is about my party saying enough is enough.
Democrats will not back down.
Do not stop fighting.
We're in this fight until we win this fight because we know we're on the right side of this fight.
It's literally life or death. So Democrats have three words for this. No way.
Instead, they got a promise to vote on it at a later date.
Offering a vote in the Senate without a commitment that it would pass, without a commitment that the House would even take it up is an empty offer.
Oh, really, Senator Tim Kaine? It's funny you should say something as blatantly obvious as that. Because didn't you and seven of your closest Democrat turncoats just fuck everything up by acquiescing to Assholini to reopen the government on an offer of a vote without a commitment that it would pass? Because it's almost like you don't believe the shit that comes out of your own mouth and can't be bothered to hold the line when 411,000 of your constituents are about to lose their health care. Not to mention the rest of Virginia's population not on the ACA, who won't be able to afford their health insurance because their premiums cost more than a monthly mortgage payment. An observable fact not lost on a lot of people.
This past week in those elections, in almost every race with a partisan valence, all across the country, Democrats just romped. I mean, not just the big redistricting vote in California and the governor's races, but school board seats, state legislative seats, seats on the state utility board, DAs, judges, everything. Coming off those resounding wins last week, coming off the huge 7 million strong No Kinks protests against Donald Trump last month, one of the largest days of protest in U.S. history, Democrats and critics of this president of all stripes, they've got more power and more momentum than they've had at any point since Trump returned to the White House this term.
So did the Democrats cave, at least eight of them, in voting to invoke cloture to eventually move on to vote to reopen government? In short, I think the answer is for sure yes. Then the Democratic circles, they basically found eight people willing to vote to do this and the rest of them could vote no. How do I know that? Because the people that are voting for cloture are either not running again or just got reelected. So shows the courage there.
Many Democrats are also quite angry with Chuck Schumer, even though he voted against it.
He voted against the bill, sure, but I think he orchestrated it with senators he knew were going to retire who weren't up. Democrats have a gerontocracy problem, and I think we need some generational change.
I think the Democratic base has a right to be upset here.
And you know what we are doing with this deal? We are changing one group of suffering Americans, the federal workers and the SNAP benefits, for another one. Because people have no idea how much they're going to need to pay for health insurance.
What we lost in this vote is not only the suffering that's going to take place when people can't afford health care. You're going to have a president who says, see, I always told you, the Democrats are weak. And yes, I'm an authoritarian. I want more and more power. And you can't stop me.
And all thanks to eight Democrats, this is the reality we now live in. The Republiturds were hiding at home. The general public knew the shutdown was their fault. Every Dem, whether in the House or the Senate, had to do was to hold the line for however long it took. But no, these wealthy, retiring, and just reelected cowardly cockblockers took it upon themselves to strike a deal behind their entire caucus's back. And for what?
Senator King, Kane, Angus King, Catherine Moore Cortez Masto, Jackie Rosen, and John Fetterman, as well as Maggie Hassan and Dick Durbin.
How do you explain, though, to your constituents why it was worth it to put up this fight for so long when, in the end, you did not get your key demand?
Because it wasn't working.
Standing up to Donald Trump didn't work. It actually gave him more power.
There was no credible argument that, yeah, we think they're going to give. And we were having this fight as the volume was getting turned up about SNAP and about air traffic chaos and about tariffs and about everything else.
You know, I don't need a lecture. I don't need a lecture from whether it's Bernie or the governor in California, because they are representing very deep blue kinds of populations. And a lot of those things were part of the extreme. And now remember, that's why I'm trying to remind people that kinds of the extremism, we can't return to those kind of a things.
We are going to be able to continue to fight about health care because we're going to have a vote in December.
Oh, are we, Benedict Shaheen, the geriatric disappointment from New Hampshire? Because your old pal, Timmy Should Have Been Caned, can tell you all about what happens when you give up your leverage in a deal with the grand old pedophile protecting party. Or you could listen to Schmuck Johnson explain how this is all going to go.
There are a lot of ideas that we'd like to bring back to the table because that will actually solve the problem and not just subsidize insurance companies.
So you're not committing to bringing up a bill that deals with the Obamacare subsidies before they expire?
I'm not committing to it or not committing to it.
We now know what Republicans want in exchange for an Affordable Care Act subsidies extension. They want tougher abortion restrictions. Senators on the Republican side, from John Thune, the majority leader, to Mike Rounds, have said today unequivocally that they will not extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies that are due to expire at the end of the year if tougher abortion restrictions are not put in place. A even tougher version of the Hyde Amendment, which already prohibits federal funds for abortions. They want even more restrictions on funding for reproductive care across America. These 8 Senate Democrats voted with Republicans to reopen the government, and now it looks like we're not going to get AACA extensions.
Well, well, well. Looks like all that, the shutdown isn't working, and they promised we were going to get a vote on ACA subsidies, was the bullshit we all thought it was. Because guess who's using this opportunity to remove exceptions for rape, incest, and preserving the life of the mother from the Hyde Amendment? That's right. Those fucking liars across the aisle that 8 disappointments sided with for the sake of nothing. Maybe getting more planes back in the air and releasing SNAP benefits to those who need them, huh? What about that? Well, I've got some news for these backstabbers. According to the TSA, flight cancellations and standing in miles-long lines isn't going away with the government's reopening due to air traffic controller staffing issues. Oh, and didn't you double-crossers say something about how reopening the government was going to save SNAP benefits from Count Flabula's clutches? Yeah, well, the Trump regime has figured out a new way to make sure tens of millions of Americans go hungry.
The Trump administration, according to Politico, is going to force every SNAP recipient to reapply for SNAP benefits in an effort to, quote, root out fraud, but critics are saying that this is just an attempt from Trump to block millions of vulnerable low-income Americans from receiving food assistance.
In 9 months, we've lifted over 600,000 Americans off of food stamps, which is a record.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins telling Newsmax that she plans to have everyone reapply for their benefits, but for now it's unclear when or how people would need to reapply.
Brooke Rollins told Newsmax, quote, that she plans to have everyone reapply for their benefits, make sure that everyone that's taking a taxpayer-funded benefit through food stamps, that they literally are vulnerable and they can't survive without it.
Who else is on food stamps but those who really fucking need it? Seriously. From the fact that the average payout for SNAP is about $190 a month, to the social stigma anyone experiences using benefits in public, no one is choosing to use SNAP so they don't have to pay for their own groceries. And anyone who thinks otherwise is a fucking asshole who obviously failed elementary school math and isn't self-aware enough to shut the fuck up.
Because there is so much about this moment that is trying to make people feel like they've lost their mind. When in fact, these motherfuckers are crazy.
Oh, and just in case you're curious about what the Republicans have concocted to replace the ACA subsidies with...
Donald Trump sat down with Laura Ingraham to talk about it, and he has a good plan. We should never allow this to happen again.
Well, we're trying to put in a bill, as you know, the bill or a bill, that you can never do that again.
I keep hearing this talking point from the Democrats that the next election is going to be about health care, that the president has to solve that. I think that's a trap. They're not talking on a day-to-day basis about health care. Focus on people's day-to-day lives, what they can afford.
So what would Trump care look like?
Well, these are all ideas that we're still working on, in part
because of Obamacare. Then many millions more people got health care entitlement. And that's like one of the reasons why people are more dependent on government.
That's right, dearies. They've got nothing, which was the plan all along. The reason why Dunce Cap Don has been promising a healthcare reveal in 2 weeks for the last 9 years is because he hasn't come up with a palatable way of telling his swallowers that their health is none of his concern.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
And if we're being honest, why should Eric's dad give a shit about all of that when he's out here rewriting reality like he's some Nexus being straight out of the Marvel comics?
Donald Trump is facing a familiar problem. He's trying to convince the American people that the economy is doing better than it actually is.
The economy was listed as a top concern. I know you know this, for voters. Is this a voter perception issue of the economy?
More than anything else, it's a con job by the Democrats. So, are you ready? Costs are way down. Gasoline is going to be hitting $2 pretty soon, or around $2.
Says that grocery prices are down. What numbers is he basing that off, given that's not true?
People's purchasing power dropped by more than $3,000 because of the inflation of the last 4 years. It's up by about $1,200 this year. And inflation is one of those things that has a lot of momentum, if you look at the charts. And the momentum right now is headed really towards the Fed's target.
Even though it's been increasing for five straight months as of September?
They said, I don't want to talk about affordability. The reason I don't want to talk about affordability is because everybody knows that it's far less expensive under Trump than it was under sleepy Joe Biden. And the prices are way down.
I've been watching the TV all day saying that he doesn't want to talk about affordability. That's what he's working on every day. And
that's what I'm talking about right now. But you know why they refuse to cover it? Because they're fake news.
So I don't want to hear about the affordability because right now we're much less.
Damn, Dementia Don. Sounds like you're having trouble getting your bullshit straight. Because no matter how many times you repeat the lie that prices are down, we can all see the price of what we buy. And guess what? It is more expensive right fucking now than it was back in January when you started your second attempt to dictator-tot your way into being America's first Burger King. And while we're on the subject of liars gonna lie, never underestimate the lengths a con man will go to hide his con. Case in point, whatever happened to those October job numbers that we were all waiting for?
The Trump administration is trying to hide key economic numbers that would be terrible for Donald Trump.
The Democrats may have permanently damaged the federal statistical system with October CPI and jobs reports likely never being released. And all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period.
And the household survey wasn't conducted in October, so we're going to get half the employment report. We'll get the jobs part, but we won't get the unemployment rate. Probably we'll maybe be able to concoct something, but we'll never actually know for sure what the unemployment rate was in October.
But we know that the job report number coming out of October would have been horrific for the Trump administration because Goldman Sachs predicted a 50,000 job loss. Dow economists predicted a 60,000 job loss. And now Donald Trump is trying to hide economic numbers from the American public.
Why, of course he is. And it is convenient he's blaming the shutdown for the loss of what would have been another round of terrible numbers. For example, no one's hiring right now because most companies are laying off significant swaths of their worker base, leading to a near 5% increase in jobless Americans over last year's numbers. Couple that with the rising cost of living in America, and you've got consumers not consuming because they can't fucking afford to. And all because Fat Nixon refuses to talk about affordability, except when he thinks it makes him look benevolent.
President Trump now says he wants to send out $2,000 rebate checks paid for by his tariffs.
One of the things we're going to do, we're going to issue a dividend to our middle-income people and lower-income people of about $2,000.
He's now saying that he'll be using tariff revenue to send a $2,000 check to every middle- and lower-income American. This appeared to be news to soybean farmer Scott Bessent.
Do you have a proposal, a formal proposal, to give a $2,000 dividend to every American?
I haven't spoken to the president about this yet, but you know, it could, the $2,000 dividend could come in lots of forms, in lots of ways, George. You know, it could be just the tax decreases that we are seeing on the president's agenda. You know, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, deductibility of auto loans. So, you know, those are substantial deductions that, you know, are being financed in the tax bill.
Which would not in any way be a rebate check.
If the president sent $2,000 checks to the 150 million people who make less than $100,000, it would cost $300 billion, even though the tariffs are only projected to raise about $217 annually.
It would cost approximately $456 billion to provide $2,000 to each eligible American. According to Scott Bessent, U.S. Treasury Secretary, in July, $100 billion in tariffs had been collected, which could rise to $300 billion by the end of the year. If every American received the dividends, it would cost the U.S. about 1.5 times the revenue generated by tariffs.
So you're saying there's no fucking chance Americans are going to see $2,000 checks. Not only because maggot math isn't mathing, but also because we're already getting the money. And all of this coming out of a rich bitch head fund douche who knows how addition and subtraction work, which is why he's reappropriating the no tax on tips and overtime fairy tale as a way of explaining why no one's going to see $2,000 checks in the mail. Because in their minds, you've already got the money, although we all know taxes still apply to tips and overtime wages, and we just got the promise that Trump's IRS will give it back to taxpayers after they file in April.
Unacceptable! Unacceptable! Unacceptable!
What? What's going on?
Meanwhile, has anyone else noticed that the tariff revenue keeps being promised to pay for anything and everything General Fatten is asked about?
We're going to take some of that tariff money that we made, we're going to give it to our farmers.
The big thing we want to do is pay down debt.
The president tapped into tariff revenue to keep WIC money for women and infants and children going out the door.
Tariffs is one of the reasons why we have the money in the Treasury to actually be able to pay our troops.
I think the tariffs will be enough to cut all of the income tax.
Donald Trump's suggesting that tariffs could fund the country's child care needs.
That'll easily pay for the Golden Dome, and we'll have a lot of money left over.
Now, I know the Trump regime is made up of the poorly educated, but at some point, someone's got to tell Dementia Don he can't keep spending the tariff revenue over and over and over again, because that's not how money works. You have it, you spend it, and it's gone. So how's the money that was spent on paying down the $38 trillion in national debt, the more than 2.8 million troops, an average of 3,000 per month, 6.5 plus million WIC recipients on an average of $82 a month, farmers, everyone's income taxes, 59% of America's children's child care at an average of $1,800 per month per child, and more military equipment going to cover also these $2,000 checks that everyone is waiting for? When his tariffs are estimated in taking in only $195 billion to date. And then on top of that, you've got troops, WIC, childcare, and all of the costs that I mentioned, which total themselves to over $8 trillion just by themselves. Now we're at a deficit of $7.8 trillion, and we haven't even paid down the national debt, farmers, people's income taxes, and that Iron Dome mantra Mussolini keeps talking about. It's no wonder.
Smart people don't like me.
You got that right. And let's be clear, it's not just because you can't do math or remember what you've already spent our taxpayer money on, or even the fact that you hosted a former Al-Qaeda leader turned president of Syria at the White House for a game of basketball with U.S. military service members and a chat in the Oval Office. Although that was a complete dick move. No, the reason the majority of Americans don't like you is because you represent everything that's wrong with this country, starting with what we found out about you in the latest 23,000-page dump of Epstein emails Dems on the Oversight Committee just released to the public.
The House Oversight Committee released never-before-seen emails from Jeffrey Epstein's estate, which include correspondence between Epstein and his longtime co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell.
And these are emails that included Jeffrey Epstein on them. They were sent either to him or from him that mention Donald Trump before he was in office and also while he was in office during his first term.
The Epstein estate has released some 23,000 emails, and House Democrats have been poring over them, and they found some correspondence directly mentioning Donald Trump by name. They've released three of these emails. The first one was between Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein back in 2011, where Epstein wrote that Donald Trump spent hours at my house with an unnamed victim of sex trafficking whose name is redacted in the email. And Epstein referred to Trump as the dog that hasn't barked.
Ghislaine Maxwell responds to that email, John, and says, quote, I have been thinking about that.
And then in a separate email years later with author Michael Wolff in 2019, Epstein said explicitly that Donald Trump, quote, knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop. And then the Democrats cite another email with Wolf in 2015, where Epstein and Wolf are discussing if they can craft an answer for an upcoming Donald Trump interview. And Wolf sort of suggests that Epstein has leverage over Donald Trump, saying if he says he hasn't been on the plane or to the house, then that gives you valuable PR and political currency.
And in another email, and this seems to be a reference to Donald Trump saying that he kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club. And Jeffrey Epstein writes to Michael Wolff and says, quote, Trump said he asked me to resign. And he adds, John, never a member ever. Of course, he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop.
In a 2017 email to former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, Epstein writing, quote, I have met some very bad people. None as bad as Trump. Not one decent cell in his body. So yes, dangerous. In a 2018 text to an unidentified person, Epstein writes, quote, I am the one person who can take him down.
These new Epstein emails are not only exposing Trump, but it's Epstein laying into him. In one, Epstein says that Trump is borderline insane. He also went on to say he feels alone and is nuts, evil beyond belief, mad, saying, you see, I know how dirty Donald is. My guess is that non-lawyers, New York biz people have no idea.
Au contraire, my terrible sir. Over 65 million Hillary Clinton voters and more than 75 million Kamala Harris voters totally understood the assignment. Unfortunately, the Electoral College and Phony Stark's knowledge of those vote-counting computers are what decides elections in this country, and the sole reason why we can't have nice things. Because we've got a borderline insane, evil, gelatinous blob squatting in the People's House, covering the Oval with gold-sprayed decor from Home Depot and marking well-known rooms with printed-on-paper signs scotch-taped to the walls, who, way back in the day, used to spend way too much time at Jeffrey Kriepenstein's house with bikini-clad girls under the age of 18. Oh, and let's not forget about those pics Putin supposedly has of Donica Lewinsky on his knees before the Clinton, whose code name was, while he was president, Bubba.
Trump's up on the list.
Allegedly. And before we go on, I need to address the box-colored Megan in the room for saying this out loud.
I do know somebody very, very close to this case who is in a position to know virtually everything. That Jeffrey Epstein, in this person's view, was not a pedophile. This is this person's view, who was there for a lot of this. But that he was into the barely legal type. Mm-hmm. Like, he liked 15-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. And I realize this is disgusting. I'm definitely not trying to make an excuse for this. I'm just giving you facts. That he wasn't into like 8-year-olds, but he liked the very young teen types. I mean, only a pedophile gets off on young children abuse videos. We have yet to see anybody come forward and say, I was under 10. You can say that's a distinction without a difference.
No, it's not.
I think there is a difference. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what the actual fuck is coming out of this mother's mouth of a 14-year-old daughter? Oh, but then again, pedophile apologist Kelly did name her daughter after the word for a literal placeholder for a settlement. So there's that. I, on the other hand, have a daughter who is currently 15, and she looks exactly like a child of 15 years is supposed to look like. Meaning any dude getting a chubby over my child is a pedophile. Dead ass, no cap. And in case anyone's wondering how Megyn Kelly's only daughter is feeling right now, knowing her mother wouldn't call an adult male who assaulted her a pedophile, it's probably emancipation time bad. Ironically, the good news is that convicted sex child trafficker and partner of Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, is doing fabulous in her new digs in Texas that's barely a prison at all.
That the only person involved in Epstein's crimes to ever be convicted of engaging with those crimes is Ghislaine Maxwell, now plans to ask Trump for a commutation after receiving weeks of, quote, concierge-style treatment in prison.
Remember, she's serving 20 years for sex trafficking minors alongside Epstein and was moved to that lower security prison camp not long after meeting with a top DOJ official to talk about the Epstein case.
She has been receiving basically club fed or Trump hotel style treatment, concierge style treatment. She's had meals delivered to her cell, basically room service in prison. She gets to use the exercise facilities whenever she wants. She's got special arrangements where she's working with the warden to send materials to her defense team.
Maxwell has received customized meals personally delivered to her cell, after hours time in a private exercise area, and access to a service puppy. Maxwell was also afforded private meetings with visitors arranged by the warden, complete with snacks.
The Democrats say visitors to Maxwell are being allowed to bypass normal security procedures and in some cases bring in computers which could give her unsupervised contact with the outside world. Raskin says a top official at the prison camp is so annoyed that he complained that he is, quote, sick of having to be Maxwell's bitch. Prison officials are waiting on her hand and foot.
Add to that one more perk for the convicted sex offender, puppy time. According to the whistleblower, an inmate who trains puppies to become service dogs was instructed to provide one to Maxwell for a time so she could play with the puppy. Even though neither inmates nor staff are ordinarily allowed to pet the service dogs in training.
Okay, but were they the only person left alive who could completely expose the depth of the decade-long friendship between then-pedophile, I mean her boyfriend, and Groper Cleveland? I think not. Because according to the Epstein emails, Maxwell knew, Molesty Dawn knew, that Jeff's line of business and the children he was peddling to the rich and famous, that was a well-kept not a secret. Which completely contradicts Maxwell's statement to Pervert Hoover's ambulance chaser who interviewed Maxwell right before she got moved to her new hotel-style crib over at Camp Ryan in Texas. See, in order to get out of the real prison Maxwell was serving her 20-year sentence in, she told Trump's D-average lawyer that she couldn't recall the tiny-handed perv hanging out at Epstein's house or on his island. And now, according to Epstein himself, the mushroom-dicked menace not only knew about the girls, but allegedly raped one in Ivanka Trump's bedroom. And for context, folks, Ivanka would have been 12 years old at the time. Think about that. And while that's marinating, consider, if you will, the reason why all of this happened.
We've learned the White House has been working against the Epstein vote, reportedly meeting with Republicans like Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, which you mentioned, in the Situation Room of all places to try to convince her and others to remove their names from this discharge petition.
Sources are telling CNN that top Trump administration officials held a meeting on this issue, not just at the White House, but in the Situation Room. Now, according to multiple sources, the meeting was said to have included the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, FBI Director Kash Patel, and Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Boebert is one of the four Republican members of the House who has signed the petition.
President Trump attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene and saying that he's withdrawing his support for her. In a late post on Friday night on Truth Social, the president went on a rant against Marjorie Taylor Greene after she had been criticizing him lately. And he said that despite all the accomplishments he says he's achieved for the United States since retaking office, he says, quote, "All I see wacky Marjorie do is complain, complain, complain." The president claims that he sent Marjorie Taylor Greene a poll showing that she shouldn't run for senator or governor in her home state of Georgia, something that has been a big question lately. And he says that ever since then, she has told many people that she is upset that he doesn't return her phone calls anymore. But then he cites all of the people that are in Congress and how busy he is. And he says, "In leading an otherwise normal life, I can't take a ranting lunatic's call every day." Here's what MTG had to say. "President Trump just attacked me and lied about me. I haven't called him at all, but I did send him these text messages today. Apparently, this is what sent him over the edge, the Epstein files. And of course, he's coming after me hard to make an example, to scare all the other Republicans before next week's vote to release the Epstein files."
Wow. I did not have the very public breakup of the bad built butch body with her dear leader on my 2025 bingo card, but here we are. Mad Marge is apparently furious over being told she couldn't run for Senate in Georgia, toppled with the fact that she's got Sulk Hogan breathing Cheeto dust down her back for not removing her signature from the discharge petition to release the Epstein files. A vote that's supposed to happen next week before the next episode of this show. So don't forget to come back next week and hear all about the fine fuckery and how it all went down. But for now, let's focus on a scheme Unhappy Gilmore's team most likely came up with to make sure that regardless of how many signatures that Epstein discharge petition receives, the public will never see those files.
President Trump is calling on the FBI and the Justice Department to look into the relationships between Jeffrey Epstein and a number of prominent Democrats. The names on that list include Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, and many others. The president made that announcement in a social media post.
President Trump, in this Truth Social post, is now suggesting that this is another Russia scam. He says he's going to have his attorney general, Pam Bondi, start investigating Epstein's relationships, not with just Bill Clinton, but Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary and president of Harvard, who exchanged numerous emails with Epstein that were shown in this latest tranche. Post goes on to say that he wants Attorney General Pam Bondi to look at JP Morgan and Chase and other institutions and their relationships with Epstein.
This is the next tangible step that he's taking to try and get some of the focus when it comes to Epstein to instead potentially implicate the Democrats.
Yeah, we all saw that coming from a mile away, but this move has bigger implications than just that, like the fact that information pertaining to an ongoing investigation cannot be shared with members of Congress and certainly not with the general public, which is what summoning Pick Me Bondi just did to all of the Epstein files covered under the discharge petition that just got its 218th signature. And all for the sake of hiding just how much Mein Incompetent has in common with his favorite German.
Blood found on material from a sofa in Hitler's bunker had been DNA tested, and the results suggest he may have had a rare genetic condition. Hitler's DNA has a genetic marker associated with Kallmann syndrome, which can delay puberty, lead to low testosterone levels, and a micropenis, including one testicle.
Hitler had right-sided cryptorchidism, so an undescended testicle. And there are these sort of rumors about how during World War I he's teased for having very small genitalia.
Hey, I don't know it for a fact. I just know it's true. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me or the show on your favorite social media platforms, and we are always available for your listening pleasure wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.